You're listening to DraftKings Network.
And before we get to the show, we just want to tell you that support for today's Cooligans is brought to you by Manscaped.
That's
which,
right.
If you don't know, that's it's the best below the waist grooming, dude.
Correct. Yes, I'm very much aware. I've been a Manscaped customer for probably about like a year now.
Which is good, because I think people who've met you and seen how young your face looks assume you don't grow hair down there.
Yeah, I'm like, I'm here to, you know, to like tell, this is really a message to the doubters, okay? This isn't a Manscaped ad. This is
no.
Letting you know I grow hair down there, okay? If anybody was interested, and also stop sending me those messages for those requests, okay?
Right? We're not starting a weird OnlyFans, okay? I certainly do. I'm a very hairy person. And let me tell you something. I'm really happy about this because I have hurt myself pretty bad in the past trying to get rid of the hair down there, which I wouldn't even do if it wasn't for my wife saying, yo, could you do something about this?
Yeah, that's how your wife talks. She's like, yo, look, fam, I'm going to need you to kind of like trim the hedges a little bit, all right? Because it's become a problem.
All right, when you go to the bathroom, it looks like you be shaving a teddy bear. So I need you to do something about that. Long hair don't care. You should care, my G. But I have. I've used, like, I kept an old beard trimmer, you know? Mm. And that's what I was using. But it nicked me. It nicked me real bad. I screamed. And I didn't know what to put on it, so I put rubbing alcohol on it. That was a horrific mistake.
Wow. This feels like a kink more than anything. Yeah. I'm like, what? Everything you're doing seems to be the wrong decision. Okay.
I've never pleasured myself better. No, it was horrific. But that's what I use. When I used to shave my face, I used to use rubbing alcohol. Or when I really buzz the beard, the hair on my neck or whatever, I'll use rubbing alcohol because it really closes up your pores. So I was like, well, I'll just use this. This is my aftershave. Let's just say it was a calamity. There was a lot of screaming. The neighbors called the cops. Yeah. It was a lot going on. But that doesn't happen anymore because now I got this Manscaped, which has this really cool sort of guard here that stops, you know, your skin from falling in. And it's got a light.
That's
so now
right.
You can see what's going on down there.
That's right. This is the lawnmower 3.0, and it's
the 3.0, baby.
Okay, it is really great, and it's usually we're not on this show we don't just talk about testicles and balls and whatever else you want to.
You
call
know
them.
We do.
but it's not the focus.
That's a good point.
This is we're dedicating time to make sure that our listeners, dudes who want to take care of themselves down there.
Or ladies, right?
Yeah,
you wanna shave your hoo-ha, or you wanna buzz it down,
okay,
you know?
Yeah. But I never knew Alexis could reach that pitch. That was quite
only
high.
When I'm talking about that. But hey, it's COVID. Maybe you don't want to go to the salon or where do the ladies,
Yeah, look, this is why we need Manscaped, because most men have no idea what goes on down there.
They don't know how
other people do it. They don't know how what we're supposed to do, but pick up, go to manscaped.com and pick up the lawnmower, right? So if you use the promo code gully21, you will receive 20% off and free shipping. And I highly recommend it. With the lawnmower in itself, you can use it in the shower. It has
it's waterproof.
It's waterproof. You can use it. It has a great LED light for precision, because even
right.
If you are in a well-lit room, there's certain areas that you can't really see, okay?
Right. Unless you got weird lights on the floor of your bathroom, and then you a freak, and you need this joint, what I mean?
Okay.
You need to be clean down there.
You're quite prepared. It's a great product. Manscaped also has a bunch of different, you can get like a care package that has like...
You get underwear, t-shirts, you can get ball deodorant.
Okay,
did you know that ladies buy this for your manses?
Okay.
Did you know that your balls shouldn't smell?
Yeah,
I didn't know that.
Don't put it under in your armpits. Okay,
no.
It goes in a different spot. Okay,
I actually thought the smell was the appeal. Turns out it is not.
No. The whole pheromone thing is been debunked. Okay, so
yeah.
Ignore it. But go to manscaped.com and make sure to use the promo code gully21 for 20% off and free shipping. It's a great, great product. And thank you, Manscaped, for supporting today's show.
Yeah, and also, hey, use it on your ass. Come on.
Okay, that's how we end it. Tonight on The Cooligans, we are talking about Chelsea and Frank Lampard. That relationship is over. They are moving on. They have swiped left. And we're going to be talking about the U.S. Women's National Team going up against Colombia again. And it didn't go great for Colombia.
That's right. Plus, we talk about the MLS draft. Who won? Who lost? And who got all that AM? And what are you going to do with it? Plus, we talk about Weston McKennie flexing all over the WhatsApp group chat with his new trophy. That and more today on The Cooligans!
What's up, guys? Landon Donovan here, and I got to kick it with The Cooligans today. Keep following, keep listening, keep watching. See you guys soon.
Yeah, baby!
You said you look like you were on a roller coaster. You're like, yeah,
I'm doing this. It's like like the helicopter's going down, but I'm not the pilot. Why am I up here?
Hello, everyone. Welcome to another episode of The Cooligans. My name is Christian Polanco.
That's right, and I'm Alexis Guerreros.
All right, we are your favorite stand-up comedians that host the funniest soccer show that has ever lived.
That's right. And it also, just in case you might have forgotten, maybe you misplaced it, you're like, Where is that data sheet I usually keep on the show? And you're like, oh, there it is. Oh, yeah, they also happen to be the gulliest.
Yeah. Oh, okay, yeah, yeah. I keep a stack of paperwork as, as you know, evidence for the upcoming Cooligans, case.
Obviously, you're a public defender. You're just like, I'm sorry, I'm late. I had to pick up the files. We're going to jail.
Yes, Your Honor, defender. They are quite gully. I have the evidence to prove it.
I mean, a case dismissed. I know I'm not allowed to say that. Feels apropos.
Hello, everyone. Yes, yeah, so a lot to discuss today. So many things going on in the world of soccer. We have no guest. There's too much to discuss. And the first thing we have to start with is obviously the things going on at Chelsea Football Club, okay?
Frankie got caught.
Okay, not Frankie. Yo, they got Frankie?
Yo, Frankie Dunn, though.
Oh, man. I just saw his mom the other day. What's
I know,
up?
Bruh. I was just talking to him. We're supposed to meet up. Go over X's and O's.
No, man. Frank Lampard, manager for Chelsea, has been sacked, as they say. In England, he's
which
been let
just
go.
Sound worse than fired, doesn't it?
It does. I mean, look, if they change it to got, I'd be like, okay, all right, okay. I understand why. Poor
You'd
guy.
Be like, what'd he do? You know, it's his fault.
you know why? He messed with the wrong person. He should have been on that block. He knows. We all know.
I told him that's his girl, dog. I mean, I know they're exes right now, but he don't play like that.
But no, he's been let go, right? So look, the recent record for Chelsea has not been great. They did win their FA Cup match, but before that, they've just been losing a whole bunch. I think they've lost 8 out of 9, if I'm not mistaken. And they bad losses to Leicester, bad losses.
They lost to every top club, basically. They couldn't beat a top club.
Yeah, yeah. The last two wins they had were against West Ham and against Fulham, which were ages ago. Nobody even remembers them anymore. Right. And that's how the Premier League is. You win if it's been 3-4 weeks since a win, it's like, wow, you're still here? I didn't know you were. I'm like, see, it's weird to see you clock in, you know?
Yeah, damn. It's like George Costanza, like, dog, you were fired this weekend. Like, what are you talking about? You were yet?
There must have been some error, some clerical error somewhere.
Bro, we must have just forgot to tell you because I thought you were fine. There's another manager here. Why are there two offices?
Yeah, you know, or you're like, you're sitting on his lap in your office.
you don't think this is weird? Thomas Tuchel, and you're right here, who is rumored to be the next manager. And by rumored, He's measuring the wall in Frank Lampard's office. Okay, as Frank Lampard is getting fired.
Yeah, right, he's choosing the paint for his office. So it looks like Thomas Tuchel was fired from PSG for whatever reason. I don't know. Like literally,
Mauricio Pochettino. That was the reason.
But it's just so strange how the dude is taking his team to the Champions League final, and you know they didn't win it, but.
Because they're built to win the Champions League final. You can't lose it.
And it's the manager's fault, right? And when you lose a game,
what are you gonna sack Neymar? Yeah, no, Tuchel, sorry, we didn't pay $200 million for you. You're out. Whose fault do you think it is that Chelsea is in this position and Frank got fired? If you had to blame somebody, blame Frank Lampard, or are you like me and simply blame Timo Werner?
I'm going to blame the photographer who took the photos for Christian Pulisic, okay?
Yeah. Ben Weller.
That's the only person to blame. Everything was fine up until that point.
Dude, you know what? When we look back at this, it's going to be the turning point. And we're not sure if it's turning even lower or going up.
No, look, I think the money spent on Timo Werner, Kai Havertz, and Hakim Ziyech is enough to say, like, yo, these guys should be producing, and why aren't they producing? And
those were the bullets in the gun. You know what I mean? That was the weight on his shoulder. That was the, look how great you did with no money. Now here's £222 million. Mm-hmm. And he's like, I think I'm gonna make the house worse. We're gonna deflip this house.
You know, he played supermarket sweep and then just left with rice cakes. You know,
like homie, you
did the game wrong.
Yeah. How did you find kale that went bad? Is my question. Turkey, you gotta get the turkey.
The stretch of losses was just too difficult, like, to overcome, and we've been mentioning this for weeks. Like the leash at Chelsea for any manager is very, very short. Thomas Tuchel is going to deal with the same exact problems. I don't know if it's a tactical issue that Timo Werner and Kai Havertz are bad. You know what I mean? I don't know if that's simply the case. But
I mean, look, they did play better in Germany. So,
it's also Germany.
Right. So what do we got to do? We got to tell everyone around Chelsea to not smile, right? Become very, remind them of home.
Well, the big issue is that they've just been giving up so many goals. And that is not, you know, that has nothing to do with who's up top and their offense. They've just been giving up so many goals the last couple games that feels like a manager that can't, like, communicate and get through to a defense and their goalkeepers and things like that. And, like, you know, when Mendy got there, the goalkeeper, and replaced Kepa, Arrizabalaga, everything was
Gesundheit.
There was so much improvement. Everything was better. Everybody's spirits were lifted. But then,
except Mendy, he was like, why am I here?
Mendy going through the same exact things that Kepa was going through. Just not necessarily poor goalkeeping, but there was poor defending in front of him. So
here's what I think happened. As soon as Willian left Chelsea, they fell apart. But as soon as he came to Arsenal, we started sucking. So why don't we just send him back? You can have him back.
I think that's what they need. Okay.
And I thought something was wrong when I checked the news and I saw that the U.S. Women's National Team had beaten Colombia again, you know? I was like, what is Colombia doing? Why would you sign up for this twice? It's like your friend who gets back with, like, an abusive ex, and you're like, yo, she toxic, bro. You know? Don't do this.
Didn't you learn your lesson the first time? We all saw it. We saw it.
It sounds like a good idea up front, but we all know you can't do this.
U.S. It was the second of two friendlies. The first one didn't go great for Colombia. This one went a little bit worse. Uh-huh. 6-0. But this time, at least Colombia had the players that couldn't play because of they were being cautious for, you know, the COVID protocol. So they did have them. But they lost worse.
Turns out your B squad really your A squad. It's like junior varsity just beat varsity in a scrimmage. Everyone's freaking out.
Look, when you look at the stat sheet, it just doesn't look great, right? Because you see 33 shots to two.
To two.
It's just an absolute powerhouse, that they had to go up against. And in a lot of these matches, people are watching them And this, look, there's a lot, again, there's a lot of context here. Colombia had to play with all of their domestic players. They didn't have, they couldn't play with any of the players that are playing currently in Spain. So they did have some better players that just were not available.
But that's not their A squad.
It is not their full.
No, because then they would have gotten like 6 shots on goal. You know what I mean? No disrespect to Colombia. Obviously, you know, well, great national team. But it is tough to look at some of these stats because you're just like, were they not allowed to touch the ball? Like, you know what I mean? what was their tactic?
But this is the thing with the U.S. Women's National Team is that they are ruthless. They respect every team to the point where, yo, we are going to absolutely smack you in the mouth. We don't get you. If you are at this level, you're gonna receive the same kind of the same level of effort that if we are playing Japan or the Netherlands or France.
We don't care what shirt you're wearing. We know it ain't ours. Okay. Like I, for a short period of time, I coached 7th and 8th grade girls basketball, right? My buddy was doing it. He ends up getting arrested, whatever. I'll take over the team, whole thing.
You have less of a rap sheet, so you're obviously the next in line. Like, right?
Hey, he seems a bit more reputable, you know? So obviously my girl comes with me. I'm like, I don't know how to handle, you know, a coach girl. So you help me along. And I decided we're going to do a full court press. I was like, okay, yo, let's just full court press them. These are 7th and 8th grade girls. They probably ain't prepared for this. Right. And we're bodying them. By the way, every game would end like 26-22, you know? At one point, we're winning 48-6. And I'm just like, full court press, full court press. Because I forget the score. I just like, full court press. Like, don't lose. You're right. Every possession, you want to get a turnover.
Crying, right? We have lost.
Only reason I stopped the full court press in the second half, because they only do 2 halves, is because one of the refs came over and they're like, buddy, come on. And I actually said, yo, you never know if they can mount the comeback. And he's like, are you seeing the score?
You're just Kreese from Cobra Kai. No mercy. Okay. Yeah. You show weakness to these little girls. They're going to come back and bite you.
At one point, I was wearing a Giants jersey. I had obviously a shirt underneath. I took it off and I'm smacking it on the ground. Like, I was going a little bit. I shouldn't have been a coach. Deep could confirm all of this. All right. So I feel like the women's national team are like, you know, there's how much extra time? 2 minutes of added time? Keep going. You never know.
Send the keeper up. But look, a couple of big moments, right? First goal for Catarina Macario. She scores. Obviously, she is was born in Brazil, but raised in the United States.
I don't know what you're talking about, yo. She's from Kalamazoo. Shut up. That's what it says on the paperwork.
No, but she played at Stanford and is she's already signed for Lyon. She already looks like an absolute star. She's probably going to be at the next World Cup. I very much see that as a real possibility. I
mean, for the women's national team to even want to pursue a dual national means you must be damn good, you know?
Yeah. A couple of great things. Obviously, her first goal. Who got the assist on that first goal?
Let's go, Allie Krieger.
Let's go. Allie played great. 2 goals from Megan Rapinoe. Megan Rapinoe, again, we were talking about her before. She hadn't played much in 2020. Also looked great. So everybody's still looking sharp. And then a first goal for Midge Purse of Sky Blue. That was great to see as well. And also getting to see Crystal Dunn play up front.
Finally,
the women's national team madness. Okay,
let's
Blanco's
go.
Like we're changing it up. This
we're doing
time
whatever
around.
We want. Send the keeper. Like the game's not even started yet.
Ashley, get in there. Okay, you're the striker now. There's a lot of MLS news that we gotta discuss. We're gonna be talking about the MLS draft in a little bit, but first, there is some big news out of Inter Miami. We have to discuss the new coaching hire.
When you think of Miami, right? You think of Art Deco and pastel suits, right? And mysterious white powder.
We can't confirm what it is. What am I, a scientist? Okay.
I mean, I'm going to have to get close to it and smell it if you want me to really tell you what it is. But like when you think of like partying and nightclub and the sun beating down on you and Latin flair and South American and Caribbean, what's the first thing that comes to your head as an appropriate hire?
I say I need to bring in whoever, doesn't matter who, whoever coached the English women's national team. Okay, yep. That's who I need.
Let's get
Miami.
A guy who needs SPF 43,000 on the side. Phil Neville has been hired by Inter Miami.
Yeah. So people are looking into the hire a little bit, and obviously when you look back at Phil Neville's career, especially in England as a player, obviously an incredible. I mean they don't have Hall of Famers right in England necessarily, but he is.
What would it would be the. Corridor of good doing.
Yeah, it's beautiful.
The royal foyer of a job well done.
Phil Neville's coaching career, especially coaching the national team, the women's national team, it's not even that it wasn't great, but people were not really happy with him all the time, and then they were very critical. And then the fact that he would get this job, Beckham has had to answer the question of like, yo, it feels like there's a little bit of nepotism. You're just hiring your friends. Was he really the best candidate? How many people did he really interview? And Beckham's like, no, he's not hired. He wasn't hired simply because he's a friend of mine. And
because we've known each other and played together since we were teenagers. No.
Okay. I barely know the guy. Okay.
Yeah. I gotta be honest. I didn't like him the whole time. So I'm even shocked we hired him.
I looked him up on Wikipedia. I'm like, oh, how many assists have I given to him? That's pretty weird.
Wow. Why didn't you mention this in the interview? It's like, imagine you start a club called Nutmeg United, right? Huge club, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Right? Massive club. And you hire me. And you're like, no. It's simply based off merit. Everyone would be like, I gotta think it's maybe not. At the very least, how the interview was sort of granted.
Yeah, and for the most part, I don't personally... Like it's not crazy to think like that anybody in any job is gonna hire someone that they know. That's not really the issue. But the problem here is that especially in MLS is that they really look over potential candidates, right? Pablo Mauro has written about this in The Athletic about how few black coaches there are in MLS, and when you have nepotism like this, where not even potential candidates are even getting interviewed, let's say, I'm not accusing Miami that's the case, but it sort of feels like that in this instance when there was like nobody was like, what's the list looking like? It's also weird that they let go of Diego Alonso, right? Like there was the news about. You know, The Athletic put out that he was let go, but then they were like, no, he wasn't let go.
Well, I don't think it was The Athletic, right? Or who was it? It was Felipe Cardenas, I think it was. He's been fired, and then he had to retract it.
Yeah.
Again, the club called, it was like, what are you talking about? Like, we haven't even gotten to that paragraph in this interview yet. How are you doing that? And then, like, a week or two later, like, he's gone.
Yeah. So, really weird, kind of the last few weeks that it's strange that it didn't. Diego Alonso obviously was a good coach, I thought, in Liga MX. He was at Monterrey. So, it's I think a lot of people don't expect very much. I don't see Phil Neville as a big step up from Diego Alonso. So
no, but I do think it's going to help get big names because it's a connection. It's another. It reminds you of David Beckham. It's another connection to the great Manchester United. He's a legend in a, maybe not the first name you think of when you think of legend, but certainly that phone call holds a bit more weight than like a Greg Vanney calling you if you're someone who's international and don't know MLS. So I think in one way it'll work to get big names. What's going to happen on the field? I don't know. You know, it's not my job. It's Phil's now. I know he's going to be covered in SPF every few minutes. He's going to have to be completely covered. We got more when we get back after this. Everybody, thank you so much for listening to the podcast. We just want to break it with a word from one of our sponsors, us and you.
That's right, Gully Squad. The last during quarantine, Gully Squad has not only become a dope soccer community, but it's becoming a vital space for my emotional well-being.
Okay? Yes, if it wasn't for them, I wouldn't have anyone to talk to a lot of the time. And also, I would not know what an apple crisp is.
Okay, yeah, there's so much communication and and sharing of food. It's I don't really dwell in that channel too much.
No, you're not allowed to. Your girl can see it on your face that you're looking at food.
She goes through my phone not to look for like texts from other girls. She's like
booty pic, booty pic, booty pic, sandwich.
Sam, what is this? How dare you betray me like this?
She's messaging me, homewrecker.
Gully Squad is obviously the Cooligans community. Of people that are fans of soccer, fans of comedy, fans of food, fans of pizza. It's an opportunity to help support the content that we put out, help us put out more content that we can deliver to the masses, and also get some exclusive content for yourself. So there's a bunch of really cool things going on in there. We have an amazing Slack channel that may or may not exist. Who knows?
Hey, even though we just talked about it.
Exactly, but you know, it's vague. It's very vague. So you can join at any level. You can join, you can give like $5, $10, you can give more. If you give more, there's more perks involved, like merch and a pin and stickers and different things like that. So it's, if you're a fan of soccer, if you're a fan of comedy, we highly recommend you joining, and it definitely helps the show grow, so we can do a bunch of other fun things, you know, in 2021, when we can finally travel, we can be able to go do live shows and do live events and do a lot of other things like that. So
plus, you get some really exclusive stuff, like when we release the pins, you get a pin for joining.
That's right.
When we release the pop socket, you got a pop socket for joining, stuff like that. So there's a lot of really good exclusive stuff. It's not just being a part of the Slack channel that may or may not exist, but trust me, that's a dope part of it.
Very much so. So go to soccercooligans.com and click on the Join Gully Squad button now.
All right, baby, we're back on the Cooligans Living Room FC, and we didn't even get a chance to talk about the MLS draft.
Yeah, we got to discuss it. Obviously, the MLS draft has become not as, the fanfare and the pageantry is kind of missing, obviously, when we're not doing it in person. But it's been as far as some of the names, you have to find your energy and excitement sort of based on what the anchors are telling me I should be excited about. You know what I mean?
You tell me who these people are. We follow a lot of soccer. College soccer, not really our thing.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Okay.
Especially since there really wasn't much college soccer.
And even when there is a full season of college soccer, there isn't much college soccer anyway, right?
No, it's like 10 games. They're like, you're good. You did it.
Okay, we see, you kick the ball around a little bit, a little keepy uppies. All right, here's an $8 million contract.
I think one of the things that was exciting about this, and maybe I'm wrong, but didn't it feel like there was more like wheeling and there was something exciting about it, not because these players you expect to be like huge hits or, instant starters or anything, but there was something about it where it felt like moves were being made. There was something like almost like Vegas-y about it.
Yeah, well, Philadelphia Union were like just all in on the table. They got rid of all of their draft picks. They had no interest in being involved.
They pulled an Oprah. They're like, you get a draft pick and you get a draft pick.
Well, it's like when someone gets like invited to speed dating and they're like, I don't even need to see who's there because I know they're all losers.
Right. It's like you went to speed dating because your friend just got divorced and you're like, look, I'll be there, but I don't want to talk to nobody.
A lot of the experts are saying that the Philadelphia Union were made out best in this draft by not participating at all and only getting allocation money.
But they also have like an incredible development system. Exactly. So they're like, we got this already. We built it ourselves. We don't need you.
Yeah.
It's like when, the comedians that have stopped drinking alcohol and they get paid in drink tickets, they're just handing it out.
It's Christmas. Okay.
I don't need this. I brought an iced tea with me, baby. I don't need this. I think the most exciting thing was this kid, Philip Mayaka. Who's Yaka? Mayaka. Which we call it. He apparently was getting looked at by Levante in La Liga.
Yeah.
And he drops from, everyone was like, Matt Doyle was like, I mean, this is the easiest number one since, mm-hmm. Laren, Kyle Laren. He's like, this is the most automatic number. I mean, he's like, put all your money on it. You don't need to get a reverse mortgage.
I'm as certain about this as I was about Andrew Wiggins, okay? I know this is 100% going to work out.
And then Austin FC comes in, and they're like, yeah, we'll take Daniel Perea. And it's like, we didn't even want Daniel Perea. We just wanted Matt Doyle to be wrong.
Okay, we just wanted to mess up this broadcast, right?
It's just instead of the picture of the guy in the conference room, it's that whatever that cartoon character is with the flames around them. You know,
Elmo?
Is it Elmo? I don't know what it is. So he's just like this.
You know? You really missed out on a lot of pop culture and anything. You must have been watching mafia movies at like 8 years old.
I was going to say crime movies, dude. Since I learned English.
Oh wait, you're talking about not the Elmo one.
Not that this is fine. I am talking about Elmo.
Oh, you are talking about the Elmo one. Yeah, 100%. Okay,
that's the red thing, right? The tickle me Elmo thingy.
Okay, one of our producers thought it was something else. But no,
because they were like, he couldn't possibly not know what Elmo was, and I did not know that was Elmo.
This is fine. Actually, I don't know where I'm. I don't know where that's from. I think it's maybe one of our producers could let us know. I thought it was Adventure Time, but I don't think it's Adventure Time.
It's probably, I think it's fake. I think it's made up.
No. It's a real cartoon. I just don't know which one. I thought it was Adventure. Somebody said Helmo?
I hope that's true. I absolutely hope that's true.
That's me Street spinoff. I'll watch that.
I think the other thing that came out of the draft is NYCFC, I believe, had the 17th pick. Yeah. And then they traded that to Minnesota for even more GAM. NYCFC got like Scrooge McDuck speaking of cartoons, like level of GAM, where I'm like, what are they going to do with this? Just swimming in this GAM. What does GAM look like? That's a real question. Do they print out like full bills? Is it like,
Garber's face on it?
He's just smoking a cigar. Like, what do you think is going to happen? Because I know that they were after this Serbian player who turned them down.
A Serbian player? I don't know who you're talking about.
They were after some Serbian striker, and he turned down.
Okay,
the league.
I know this. There's a Francisco Servi. He's not Serbian. His name is Serbian.
I could be mashing this up in my head, to be completely honest with you.
Because people's last names are not simply like the country that they're from. But
weird. Wait, Cuba Gooding Jr. ain't from Havana?
Francisco Servi is Argentinian, plays at Benfica, and it's looking like he was. It was rumored that he was going to go to NYCFC. There is a connection there, right? Obviously, Keaton Parks came from Benfica as well. And it looks like he turned them down to go to Franco Servi, not Francisco.
Right. Franco Helmo Servi, I believe is.
So, and it looks like he turned them down to go, I believe, to a La Liga side. So I don't know what NYCFC are going to look like. When you start hearing, teams not wanting to,
have you watched the news? I mean, come on. If DC United had a chance to sign Mesut Ozil, he watches the storming of the Capitol and he's like, I got to be honest, I'm not sure I want to show up.
You know what I mean? Yeah, the COVID transfer market, right? And this is the first time, the first winter transfer market that we're sort of dealing with under these circumstances. And now we are seeing I think MLS is bottom tier when it comes to where do I want to be quarantined for the next, year.
Yeah, where do I want to bring my family? Not to 400,000 people dying United States of America. If anything, right now people are like, yo, New Zealand.
What's that league looking like? Okay.
How much GAM do you need for me to go there? Because I'll pay you,
I think we're going to see a lot of this. There aren't the big signings that would happen in the winter. Or just an agreement for a player to come in the summer. I don't think we're going to see much of that. I think this season, this beginning of the season, whenever the MLS season starts, I think it's going to be a little difficult to get some players. And I think that's why some teams really leaned into the draft and are picking up players from other teams and trades. I think a lot of the bigger moves are going to happen intra MLS as opposed to, you know, outside of it.
MLS got to call agents and be like, any of your players think this whole thing is a hoax? Because we could use them.
Okay. We're signing Andrew Carlton. Thank you. We got him. And we have to discuss the, you know, we don't know exactly when the MLS season is going to begin.
And guess what? Nobody knows.
Nobody knows. But the labor negotiations are ongoing. And there was a big splash as far as, you know, the next step in this process. Commissioner Don Garber sent out a letter to everyone. Literally, he hit reply all on the email chain.
On all of soccer.
Everybody got this email. And it's people were upset, right? And players were upset. And this, and just to kind of sum up exactly what the letter is saying is, you know, it's pretty much like, you know,
it was look year, what we did for you.
last year was really hard on the family, and we made a lot of sacrifices. The owners took complete financial risk, and all we're asking for is your undying loyalty. You know what I mean? Like,
and in some cases, maybe dying. You know,
okay, dying loyalty is all we'll take it. Okay?
Yeah. Loyalty seems to be the lowest common denominator we're willing to accept. When you look at the letter, you very rarely get insight into what happens in these negotiations. For this letter to come out being the let's start the PR campaign now of look at all the positives the owners have done, because owners are always dragged in the mud, right, and made to feel like they're the ones that are always wrong. This is I'm paraphrasing the letter. So let me just say, hey, bad year and we tons of money. Look, it cost a lot of money to put that thing up in Orlando. It's like, I took the family on vacation. You know, it's like, yeah, it's a lot of that. It's like, and I know you guys were away from your family, and look, we're willing to pay you all of your money. We just want to extend the CBA until whenever we feel like it. You know what I mean? Like, it's not that difficult for you to accept because we constantly move the flagpole.
And the responses to the letter, especially from MLS players and from the Players Association itself, were pretty funny. And when I just read the letter objectively, I'm like, okay, it's not terrible. It's not, it doesn't seem so bad. He's simply saying that they're going to pay the players 100% of the salary this season, and they just, all they want is to extend the collective bargaining agreement for another 2 years. Okay, and so it doesn't sound like so insane, but when we spoke to Andre Shinyashiki, who was on the show and gave a little bit of insight of what those negotiations were like, and they weren't great, right? And we've spoken about this already, that the players, they don't want to even be going through these negotiations again. They just did it last summer,
but they also feel like they took a L, but they conceded a lot to get the MLS is back tournament. So if that's the case, they're done giving concessions. And that's kind of the feeling, because this feels like a new energy. You know what I mean? Like this feels like, you know, the kid who got bullied a little bit, you know, by this one dude came back after learning karate. You know what I mean?
Okay.
Like, he got a different energy. He ain't taking your shit no more.
You know, interesting. You've been watching Cobra Kai a little bit.
I have been. The Serbian player told me about it. So I think what you're seeing from the MLS Players Association is this sort of not confidence, but the we're done.
Yeah,
we're not going this way anymore. We're going that way.
Yeah,
and to some degree, it's without players, you don't have a league, right? So to some degree, like, and we said this in 2015 when that strike almost happened. And the only reason I'm bringing up strike is because Ethan Finley tweeted out, don't read the room, just keep swinging, basically. But it's a player. It had to be a Yankee player, of course, but come on, man. It's a Yankee player striking, which if you read into that even a little bit, right? The word strike is very prominent there. I think what you're seeing is that the players are like, COVID was a great time for us to play. It seemed safe. We weren't comfortable with the situation, but we'll do this so that we get the season off. But from here on in, we're not playing by your rules anymore. And this feels like they're done. Because remember how weak the MLS Players Association seemed during the last two negotiations, I believe, right? especially if we go back to that 2015 year when we first started our podcast. If you look at that, everyone was like, yo, what the, you know, you guys let everyone walk all over you, blah, blah, blah. It seems like that's done. Aren't you getting the same sense?
It does feel that way. I mean, similar, kind of like to what you're saying about having a different level of confidence. Like the players made a huge sacrifice being in the bubble, not being with their families, having these weird, you know, rules and regulations. It's difficult to be an athlete in these circumstances, right? And it does feel like kind of like what I was saying before, like they're tired of the hand wringing, just a constant negotiation. And then seeing Don Garber go on the PR campaign already without, you know, and pretty much saying like, look, the ball's in their court. Well, I don't know why they haven't gotten back to us. Like they're affecting you, the fan, from getting to see your Major League Soccer. And that is what the players are frustrated with, because they're essentially, Garber's trying to get the fans on his side instead of the players. And really, it's an impossible task. It is not going to happen.
I don't know. I feel like there could be a split in the fan base of saying like, we've gotten so long without being able to go to the parks. I want to see the game. Come on, players. I could see that.
I could see that, but who is going to, what rational reason do you have to be upset with the players? They're risking everything. They risked everything.
Since when is rational thinking a part of soccer fandom?
Yeah, it is.
Yeah, like our producer's saying, like people, I'm sure, saying like they get more money than me. Some of these guys are millionaires and they don't want to play because it's not enough money.
You cannot say that about Major League Soccer.
I said some. I specifically said some.
I could understand, you know, the tattooed millionaires line about NBA players or NFL players and the ridiculous argument. You could get paid $1 billion. You're still taking the same risk as the dude that's making 82,000. So money is not
but you could see some fans picking that side. I wouldn't. I'm obviously on the side of the players.
I get it, but I'll just say they're dumb and they're wrong. That's all.
Well, yeah. Well, that's the purpose of the show, is for us to point at all the people who are dumb. Well, I think of players from Serbia because his last name kind of sounded like it.
Okay. That's the take you come here for.
Yeah. I'm throwing stones because the glass house is completely broken. There's no glass.
It's shattered under my feet. I really should stop. You know, I'm kind of tired, really, from throwing.
I should have worn shoes. Christian, I'm sure you saw this because it's been going crazy, especially in American soccer Twitter. But Weston McKennie hoisting a big old cup. The bad boy's about half the size of his body.
Okay, what is that? Pimp cup?
Damn. Right. When we said Italian super cup, you didn't need to make it a super size cup. You know what I mean?
Okay, man, that's a lot of Coca Cola in there. I bet.
There's almost no ice in here. You're gonna kill me.
This is great. Weston McKennie wins his first trophy. Obviously, the U.S. men's national team starlet. He is, when he signed for Juve, we were like, was this some sort of clerical error? What exactly, how did this happen? How did
a ruse.
what is going on? So many people thought he wouldn't do well, that he wouldn't succeed.
I didn't think he'd get minutes.
And it was like first game, he was already there. I'm like, what happened to that training? Did he threaten Pirlo? What's going on?
Pirlo just a fan of the music he picks in the locker room.
But no, this is they played against Napoli and won the Italian Super Cup. I'm reading a couple just quick stats about you about Weston McKennie. Weston McKennie is the first American to play for Juve. He's the first American to score at the San Siro, first American to score at the Camp Nou, a first American to win the Italian Super Cup, and the 2020 U.S. Male Player of the Year.
I mean, he's killing it, and he's still just on loan from Schalke.
Yeah.
Going to buy him? I mean, at this point, you got to, right?
Yeah, it's the fact that he's winning minutes, winning his time at that spot, and also looking comfy out there. I mean, looking confident. And one of the things that's interesting is that I, for whatever reason, like Weston McKennie's not necessarily the fastest dude in the world. He's not like a defensive mid the way Tyler Adams is a defensive mid, right? He's like just a bit, he's like a bit more physical, a bit stronger. And that is what's sort of leading him to be, I think that's what is getting him to like find his place in the team, where he's just like, he's just like shielding people off the ball and technical enough and crafty enough to not only just make passes, but also do what, like 1-2s, you know, like run into open spaces when necessary. Like right. He is much more of an attacking threat than I expected him to be at Juve.
I'm surprised that he's even allowed to be, right? Like, you assumed like Juve would be like, if you're going to get in, it's to do this one job.
Yeah.
Right. Play the cover for your back line. Don't you dare. But the thing I love about him, and remember like a couple years ago, which again, we talk about Weston McKennie like he's 35 years old. The dude's barely 22. But we sort of, when you look at where he was a couple years ago in Schalke and then going into the men's national team, everyone's like, what's the right position for him? And I think what you're finding is there's no set position for him. He's really good defensively, but he is, like you said, able to find spaces, and he's not afraid to show how dangerous he is on the attack. And yeah. Whenever I see him go for like a bicycle kick or something, I'm like, do you know who else is on this team? What are you doing? You know,
well, there was in this in the final, he did play well, but he did have that one mistake, or I wouldn't call it a mistake, but he you know, there was a foul in the box and caused a penalty. I believe it was Dries Mertens that, like, he was about to clear the ball, and Dries Mertens just got in the way of the ball, and McKennie ended up hitting him. And then Insigne misses the penalty, which is that as soon as that happened, I'm like, all right, this is, I think that Juve pretty much got this.
Yeah.
And then they had a late goal towards the end of the game.
Which is good, because Napoli's in third and Juve's in fifth, right? Juve's pretty much just in a Europa spot, and everyone's talking about how it's technically like a big fail for Pirlo right now that they're not in the top. I think in the top is Milan and then Inter Milan second. So I think they're 10 points away from first. So there's a chance that they might miss Champions League, which I think is like the bare minimum for Juventus, right?
Yeah, that has to be. I mean, they won the last, six Scudettos. Like, I mean, that's the standard is very, very high at Juve. But it looks like, similar to La Liga as well, it feels like the people that are normally winning it are don't look like they are, because Atletico is in first pretty comfortably as well.
Do you think Weston McKennie, do you think Juve purchases his contract, buys him as a player, or do you think this is showing Weston McKennie maybe should get a shot with someone in the Premier League?
I think Juve, they're going to take him. I think Weston, having the team that gives you such an opportunity, you got to give them, you want to be there a little bit longer.
Who cares, baby? Thank you for letting me shine. Now I'm going to go over here.
I think he's grateful. It seems like it, based on all the interviews and stuff, I think he appreciates being there and playing with these superstars and stuff like that.
He's also doing like the whole go Schalke go thing. And he's done with Schalke. Someone probably texted him and was like, could you please just say something?
could you see him in the Premier League? Yeah.
I think he'd be great on like Leeds, if Leeds can stay up, which I'm sure they will.
No, I don't think no, not Leeds. I'm like, what team could he play for? That would it be? I mean, he seems like a team. He could fit really well at Chelsea. That's who I think. I mean, playing
with Pulisic too.
Even with Pulisic, but imagine a midfield of Mason Mount, N'Golo Kante and Weston McKennie. He replacing Kovacic. Kovacic is not really like doing much, right? We talk about him all the time. Him playing at Chelsea, I think he would make such a huge difference, my opinion.
I honestly could see him at Arsenal, right? I think Mohamed Elneny is having a great season, but Thomas Partey and Weston McKennie.
Bro, it's crazy that we're even talking about Weston McKennie and these, like, all right, what super team are we going to build around? Yeah,
yeah. Can we build a Weston McKennie Octagos? the best part about it is he went from Schalke, where we were like, we don't know if he has, even Bayern level, And now we're like, what do you think? think? Was Real Madrid good enough for Weston McKennie? And that's in half a season.
Yeah, it's. I mean, it says a lot of. You know, I think it's interesting what Juve saw in him, because I was watching Schalke matches and I'm too focused on the other 10 players that are playing horribly. You know,
I didn't see shit. I don't know what y'all saw.
I'm like, they are. I guess he's okay. I don't know. Yeah. What do you mean?
And by the way, I hope he doesn't go to Real Madrid, because they're in absolute, you know, they're in downfall right now. They just lost to a team of like accountants. What is it? Al Yocano?
I believe they lost to the Alcoyano Grounds Crew.
Yeah. No, that's their A squad, dude.
This is a third division side. This was in Copa del Rey.
Yeah.
And they're knocked out. It was in the round of 32. And they lost 2-1. This is not great right now for Real Madrid. You don't sort of expect this from them, and now they're the butt of a lot of jokes.
Well, I will say this right now: you've seemed like you were probably a good employee, so you might not have had to do with this, but you may know someone who's done this. You ever know, like, you get called in for a Friday meeting at like 3 p.m. That means you're getting fired, right? Everyone knows that, right?
Okay.
So you ever see someone who knows they're about to get fired, and right before that happens, they get sick? Do you know what I'm talking about?
They can't come in.
I'm not saying this is what's happening, but it's amazing timing that all of a sudden Zinedine Zidane's like, I have COVID. So best of luck.
I am unable to make any appointments or meetings. Apologies. Okay.
Yeah, I'm not checking my email. I'm not checking my text. You know, I'm coughing, so I can't.
You know, yes. My email has COVID, I believe, as well. So I cannot open it.
doctor's orders. I can't go to Gmail. So, it looks like, I guess I'm still good, you know, as long as I survive this.
Look, obviously, wish him the best. I mean,
the speed of recovery.
Been an issue just so many times. We also, Sergio Aguero also tested positive for COVID.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah,
so did
yeah.
Dave Chappelle. Were they all hanging out?
They were swapping bits, you know, dropping jokes.
Zidane's trying to be like, you know what you should do with that joke? They were all in Austin. I thought Austin was going to save comedy. What happened, Joe Rogan?
Interestingly enough, I was watching Tiger Belly, you know, with Bobby Lee.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Love it.
And Carlos Mencia was on there talking about his whole life or whatever. And he was wearing a Real Madrid track jacket.
He's a massive Real Madrid fan. Okay, massive.
I was not aware. Okay. Yeah. All right. Well, that's just... I just mentioned that for no reason.
Let's have him on the show, and then he can steal our bits. Just don't show him that clip.
Thank you for joining us for another episode of The Cooligans. We did this one guestless.
Yeah, dude, just the two of us. Wait, do we own the rights to that song?
We own it now. It's ours now.
The Fubo put it on our tab. Don't do that, by the way.
Okay, legal department, sort it out.
What else are you doing? Oh, you're having to talk to players who I've been assigning different foreigner, different passports. Great, good point. This was fun though, man. I miss doing the episodes just me and you.
Yeah, yeah, we'll do this from time to time. But everybody, thank you so much for joining us. We had fun as always. Make sure you follow us at Soccer Cooligans on all social media platforms. Hit us up on eltwitch.com.
And Christian, what's your social media?
Oh, my at Chris Polanco on Twitter and at Christian_Polanco on Instagram.
Wow, I'm at Not Alexis on everything and at Alexis Standup on TikTok.
Okay, look at that. He's doing, you know, the Renegade Challenge on there. So it's great.
I'm doing a lot of Busset Challenge come through.
Okay, he's out there doing the WAP Challenge all day. Yes, love to see it.
I had to learn the dance. I might as well show y'all what I got.
So we appreciate the support. Make sure you follow at Fubo Sports as well and all social media platforms. Follow. Make sure to subscribe to the Fubo Sports YouTube channel for full episodes of the program. All right, let us end the show as we normally do. My name is Christian Polanco.
I'm Alexis Guerreros.
And together, what are we?
The Cooligans!